episode 27, live on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. My name is Dave Hunt, I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
Week 5 of quarantine, week 2 of furlough, I'm doing pretty damn well.
Yeah, I think somebody said it's like day 41 or something like that, or like in the 40s for a lot of people. So.
Yeah, I've been meaning to look at my work schedule and go back to the last day I was scheduled just to get the exact day count, but I think I might go crazy if I like start counting them like that.
You're not going to remember how to punch in to get to work.
I had the problem where I had to like log into like, you know, company website stuff, and I was just like, I don't remember my password.
I hope everyone is safe and healthy and doing what they can to entertain themselves. We appreciate you guys taking the time to download, listen, and share the show. We just try to be an escape for you and an escape for us, because I put it on my personal Facebook page the other day. Like, I cannot get away from the word COVID, and like, I'm not helping myself in this situation when I'm saying this out loud, but it's just like, sports used to be an escape for me. Video games was an escape for me. Even work could be an escape for me, but now it's like daily updates at work, and obviously like work is different because we're closed, but we're still doing things. And so all this stuff. And I just hope that we can be, after this part, a really good escape for you guys, just to, you know, for an hour and a half of your life, just to sit back and zone out, you know, maybe help you go to sleep or help you, you know, unwind from a work day or something like that. So we appreciate you guys listening, subscribing, reviewing, sharing, all of the above.
Yep.
Social links are all in the show notes, so I'm not going to bore you guys with that. So everything is there. Just click on it, whether it's Discord, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all of the above. If like, just like I mentioned, if you can just subscribe to any of those services, share those services. People are looking for plenty of things to do right now, or things that would entertain them. So any kind of sharing is always helpful, and then leaving reviews is huge help. We go up and down on the ratings. There's a bunch of like third-party sites that we can use for seeing ratings and downloads and stuff. And we go up and down like crazy, which is awesome and also scary at the same time. So, but anything you guys can do to help us to eat more exposure, those are all free ways. So like sharing the show, like we said, is great. And reviewing the show is always appreciated. And something written as well. We can see like if we get reviews, but if you can even write, you know, just a little blurb, like a sentence or two, it's always, always helpful. And I think you had mentioned last, like Stitcher has the ability to review now.
So yeah, it looks like on Stitcher's actual website, there is a rating system. We're currently blank because we haven't had any reviews on Stitcher, I believe. So if you do use Stitcher and you have an account there, I believe you can leave us a review. Otherwise, I think the only other option is on Apple's website or iTunes.
Podcast Addict now has your ability to directly review, and you can actually see both reviews. You can see Podcast Addict reviews, and you can see iTunes reviews.
Yeah, I stand corrected. We have 2 Stitcher reviews now.
Nice.
So thank you, Andy, and thank you, Hassan, for awesome. Leaving us 2 reviews. So we got 2 on there, and we have about 30-ish, I think, on Apple iTunes. But awesome. Those actually help us like move up the iTunes chart. And despite other services probably have as many, if not more, listeners on them, people still look at iTunes first for rating and judging shows.
Well, and to be fair, the metadata we see shows that Apple podcasts are still winning a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's just Android is just so scattered. It's just like, on our thing, it's just like 1 for Apple and then like 37 different ones for Android.
Yeah. So, but again, just any way, shape, or form that you can share and review the show is always appreciated. And you can even leave reviews like on our Facebook page. So if somebody comes across our Facebook page, like the spammer we got last week, you know, it would always be helpful for, you know, for us to show that we actually have people that care, so that when I ask them like, hey, what do you know about DDG? Oh, nothing. I want you to get lost. So, all right, we are going to jump right into the news. We actually have something to talk about, which kind of, I'm glad we do, but this subject kind of sucks.
This is terrible. Okay, don't worry, this is a safe zone, so let me just say that before we get into it. But
The Last of Us has a part 2.
Yeah, The Last of Us. So this is, there's two aspects to this story, but the first one is, The Last of Us Part 2 has been leaked. So Newsweek and a couple other outlets are pointing that a potential disgruntled employee just went ahead and leaked endgame cutscenes the script of the game and other tidbits of information, all out of context. So there's no like full dump. It's just whoever this person was, they uploaded to their YouTube channel, which is now deleted, various cutscenes to the game, and then also may have made some posts on some websites that broke down more aspects of the game. And the reason Newsweek and other outlets are pointing that it might be a Discord employee is Naughty Dog has had some like Crunch related stuff. We talked about Crunch last week with Khalif, and they aren't a studio that's been like a safe place in terms of avoiding crunch. You know, they crunch a lot and they work and overwork their employees a lot. So outlets are pointing to that as a reason why it might be a disgruntled employee. And also all the cutscenes that were leaked had timestamps and little watermarks that only a developer would have. The cutscenes were also in German, so it could also be someone on a localization team that's in a different part, maybe not necessarily Naughty Dog, but it could be whoever handles localization for them. But it's an important story to tell because I know a lot of people in our audience are excited for this game. You might want to avoid the internet because it's kind of a hellscape already. You know, on Twitter, you go see everything going on in the world. But now if you just go to like a regular PlayStation tweet or news story, in the replies, you'll just see people posting out of context screenshots and videos of The Last of Us Part 2 and ending stuff. So this is, like, I avoided most of the spoilers. I saw little tidbits of it, but then stopped myself when I realized what was happening. Because I woke up today having no idea this happened, and was just on Twitter, and then I saw a video that looked too realistic to be a fan-made, and then turned it off, and then saw Last of Us was trending, and everything is out.
Then he sends me a text, don't click on any PlayStation replies.
Well, because I know you and Angela, like, The Last of Us was a game that you two, like, enjoyed together for the story, so it would suck if, you know, you just, you know, pop up on the Twitter and see a PlayStation tweet, click it, and then look into replies. And people are being dicks, spoiling us. It's kind of crazy how people are reacting to this. Some people are canceling their pre-orders, but people always say that.
They say they're canceling their pre-orders. Yeah, they say that.
One thing that is kind of frustrating is because everything was leaked out of context, people are jumping to conclusions on how the story unfolds and stuff, and people aren't happy with some aspects of it, but it's all out of context. And
yeah,
Last of Us is probably going to be a 10 to 20 hour game. So seeing a 3-minute cutscene isn't going to tell you the whole story. And so it's annoying because some people are unhappy with some of the stuff they saw. So then they're just using it as a reason to spoil it for other people.
Yeah. But like you said, like, you're seeing a vertical slice of a cutscene that you don't know the cutscene before, the cutscene after, yeah, the lead up to it. Like, you're seeing some dialogue back and forth, and you're jumping to conclusions based on what you're seeing, but you don't know the arc either way, the mm-hmm. build up or the build down or any of that stuff. I mean, some of the coolest moments that were in the first Last of Us really didn't have anything directionally to do with the story itself. It had to do with a little bit of those side conversations that Ellie and Joel were having. And then also just some of the nature scenes as you were moving across the country in the game, like, just, and how they were able to present that of, like, when you're playing the game and you're kind of at a low, and then they are able to slightly bring you up just based on showing something cool. Like, yeah, it's old. It's like, you know, and I'm going to speak vaguely, but like, the giraffe scene is always fascinating for people.
Yeah, that's like an iconic moment in the first game. And out of context, I probably would have been confused if I was shown that. But in game, right, in full context, it was like a beautiful moment. And we also don't know, like, the footage is out there. So if you did happen to be one of the people that, you know, went to the PlayStation blog and weren't expecting to get spoiled, you, like, we don't even know how old this footage is.
Or if it's even in the game.
If it's in the game, yeah. Especially this could be, it could be cut stuff. This was kind of my fear when all the studios had to do work from home that this stuff could happen. This does sound like getting, you know, like credible news sources have like said it's likely like someone that worked on the game who was just upset about pay or something. So the footage is legitimate, but we don't know how old the footage is. It could have been someone that was let go and was disgruntled and just had the stuff on their computer. And it's hard to know exactly how relevant the stuff that was leaked is going to be. There's a chance it's all going to be exactly the same as it will be in the final game, but you don't know until you play the game. Yeah, it's just crazy. What were you going to say?
This is not really any different than, you know, we've seen the last year or so, like Kingdom Hearts was out in the wild like 30 days, 40 days before the release date. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy, they were selling their physical copies because they didn't know if they were going to be open tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, and I would fully expect, like, I know it's you're going to talk about it next, but I think they now dated it again for like June 19th.
Yes. So shortly after all this kind of blew up and websites were reporting it, Sony came out and they dated The Last of Us Part 2 for June 19th.
That's only like 2 weeks off of the original date or the second delayed date, right? It was like Memorial Day, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, it was like May 29th or
so. So that's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be worse than that for the delay. This might have pushed them over the edge of just like, let's just hit the release date as soon as possible. So Last of Us was marked for June 19th and Ghost of Tsushima July 17th. So they dated both of these.
So the main reason of what I was getting at is I fully expect, based on Naughty Dog's pedigree of their embargoes, that you're probably going to start hearing about this game from a review standpoint in very early June.
Yeah, they usually give... Sony in the past has been really good at giving reviewers like a decent head start on the games, usually a couple weeks. And usually, in my experience, Sony will give, you know, anywhere from like 2 to 3 weeks ahead for reviewers. And then after the first week, stuff starts to get leaked. There's like a perfect week where reviewers have the game, everything's fine. And then a week into it, that's usually when we start seeing leaks. So you're right. We probably would have started to hear or see some of this footage
mid to late May. Yeah.
2 weeks before the game came out, 3 weeks. No. So it's not that crazy, but it's just the fashion that this happened is the crazy part of no one knows who this is. I have a feeling because there was like parts of the screen that the developers could probably recognize. Like I would assume the studio knows exactly like who was in charge of what and who had to do, you know, everything. So they probably know who this is. The person that did this, if it was really a disgruntled employee, they probably just guaranteed they will be blacklisted from ever
the
getting
industry for life.
Yeah. Because no matter what, if you're disgruntled, there's ways to vent or to like hurt the company you're disgruntled at. This like kind of. It screws everyone over. Like, it messes up Sony and Naughty Dog, of course, but also just all the people that are working hard as hell to try and get this game done. You know, and Naughty Dog did put out a statement about this, you know, basically confirming that everything you saw, you know, was legitimate footage. Their statement was as follows. We know the last few days have been incredibly difficult for you. We feel the same. It's disappointing to see the release and sharing of pre-release footage from development. Do your best to avoid spoilers, and we ask that you don't spoil it for others. The Last of Us Part 2 will be in your hands soon. No matter what you see and hear, the final experience will be worth it. So, pretty standard statement from them. I just don't think I've seen something like this before, unless you can recall something as dramatic as potential employee just leaking out footage. I mean, it happens, but...
Yeah, I mean, nothing on the scale of like a high tier game like Last of Us that I can remember. And we were just talking about it, like, you know, all the how tight lipped like all they've been able to keep Sony and Microsoft have been able to keep the developers of games. We know that people are working on next gen games, and they're just not talking about it at all.
Yeah, there was like some speculation about maybe they use this to, like, the first time they, or the fourth time they delayed The Last of Us, where it was indefinite delayed of, like, do we just push it to, like, closer to that launch? But it, I feel like this almost doubles down that the new consoles will be out this holiday, because they're pushing out both of these games just a couple weeks apart. You know, the last big hurrah for the PS4.
And they're pushing them out in enough time to where they can really start focusing on next gen, and they won't have to, if there is any media coverage or anything like that. They these are both dated now, so when they start talking about, really talking about next gen, they're not going to be like, so what are you guys doing with Last of Us? What are you doing with Ghosts? Like, is it coming to, is it going to be a PS5? Like, nope, that's dated. It's over there. It's on the board, and we're not talking about it.
So. Yeah.
Because that kind of ties the bow on it for Sony, at least on PS4.
Yeah, especially they're, it's going to just like hit these two games out within a couple weeks of each other. It's a month apart, but then they'll be done.
And yeah, and I'm fine with the closeness of them. Like, they, Last of Us Part 2 will be pretty much what I call like a one and done game. Pretty much what God of War was for me. I don't, you know, I'll play it through the story. There might be one or two cool side things that I may or may not want to do, but for the most part, I'll play it, I'll beat it, and I will move on. And I feel like Ghost might be the same way, but I'm not for certain. And I also know that more than likely it'll be, I will take care of what I need to take care of in Last of Us Part 2 before Ghost comes out.
Oh, for sure. The Last of Us, no matter how long it is, I fully expect myself to finish it in a weekend. Like, just marathon that game and then be done with it. And then Ghost of Tsushima, I don't know the size and scale of that just yet. But it's going to be a nice way to end the current generation of consoles. And we might be so hungry for games, we'll probably go through The Last of Us way faster than expected. Because release list has definitely dried up the last couple weeks, and probably do that for a while. All right, so stay off the internet for spoilers, because it's going to be rough, so you might want to mute some hashtags and avoid any time PlayStation tweets, the replies, and any comment section related to this game. Okay, and then the next story that we have. Okay, so WWE announced that they are going to skip this year's game. They've been releasing them annually for, God, like probably 10 plus years. WWE 2K20 was the last one that they released, and it was a train wreck. Like, it was just a really buggy mess. So this year they're going to skip the game. It's most likely a combination of last year's game did terrible, and also we're in the current, you know, don't want to say the COVID word round day, but we're in the current pandemic.
Oh, I thought it was because they don't know who's going to be in the on the roster at that time.
No, yeah, exactly. So the COVID thing is definitely going to affect development, and they probably are having issues dealing with that. Specifically when it comes to 2K, they always pride themselves on having an up-to-date roster. Because despite them releasing 40 people, they probably added 20 people, you know, in the last, like, couple months. And adding new moves to the game as well, which is all mo-capped. And it's probably really hard to mo-cap right now from home. If, you know, it's damn near impossible unless someone has their garage set up as a mo-cap. And so they're going to use that to just take the year off, just because it's just kind of hard to produce the type of game they produce already on the tight schedule that they are by being an annual game. And they're going to skip this year. They replaced it with a weird, like, arcade-looking fighter called WWE 2K Battlegrounds. It's being made by the Saber Interactive people who did the NBA Playgrounds, so the art style looks similar to that. It looks kind of like a mobile game, just shinier to work on consoles. The art style is weird. I really don't like it, but I'm willing to accept it for what it is, because they, you know, this wasn't their plan for this year.
Yeah.
and this is best they can do under these circumstances right now. They WWE is in a weird spot with their games. So last year, the reason 2K20 was such a mess was because Yuke's, who's been a developer since the THQ days, at one point they put out a statement in an interview or somewhere saying that they are kind of tired and phoning it in on making the current game or making the WWE games because they're annual. They want to take risks, but they're not allowed to. And they said they were still going to work on 2K20, but then they're also working on a more exciting wrestling game project to kind of revitalize the development team. Shortly after that, WWE and 2K took Yuke's off the game because it just sounded and looked bad, you know, to be like, oh, we are not excited about this game. We're working on something we're excited about. And they put all the development into Visual Concepts, who do like the 2K, the NBA stuff, but like the visual stuffs, stuff for that, I believe, because I believe NBA 2K is developed by multiple studios. So Visual Concepts had to then cobble together, using everything Yuke's built, a game, and it turned into be 2K20, which was a trash fire. So they probably needed to take a year to figure things out regardless, and then circumstances of the world stopped them.
So do you think there's going to be a WWE 2K21?
They already committed that there should be, or it'll be 2K. They always 22, do like the next year. Yeah. So yeah, there will be WWE's, like, I don't, unless the Battlegrounds game does crazy well, which would be probably great for WWE because it looks like a game that costs significantly less to make than the 2K games. They will have a game next year, just because they need to have a game. AEW, their competition, is hyping that they are working on a game, and they're working with a mystery developer, which is probably Yuke's. It's probably the studio that veiled on them. So they need to have something out next year, and them getting an extra year should be beneficial for them, and hopefully they could revamp it, just because the last couple years they've just been taking features out of the 2K game. Every year they seems like they have less and less, and maybe this time we'll let them do something big on the next generation of consoles.
That's what I was gonna ask. Do you think that next gen has an impact on this decision as well, of them trying to make something? Because like the concern's always been, and EA's proven that this is a valid concern, is that we always see FIFA as an example. Like, they could put FIFA 20 on PS3 and still move significant units today.
It depends exactly on like who's making this decision. If it's the developers making this decision, of course they would probably want to just, you know, wait for the next generation and go out big. If it's WWE making a decision, they just care about the bottom line. And if you tell them there's 200 million consoles available versus the mystery number that is the launch lineup for, you mm-hmm. know, the launch of a new platform, they're going to go with the bigger market yeah, share.
For sure.
So comes down to who's making a decision. I'm hoping the developers, you know, talk to WWE, and it's just like, you're a billion-dollar company. The games aren't really making you, like, they're not going to impact your margins so much, so let us take the time to make a better game and hopefully, you know, a better profit. Because the name was damaged, I feel like, because of this year and the last mm-hmm. couple years. So
yeah, you haven't enjoyed the game in, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, probably like 2K...
7, 16?
14 or 15, I think, was yeah. the last time I like thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's been missing like features that older games have had. The writing has been terrible as they try to develop a story. They've just been kind of rushed.
Do you think there's still a market for it?
Oh, for sure. The games still sell really, really well. Okay. And there might be a bigger market for it as they compete with another company in the video mm-hmm. game market. But There's still fans that will buy these games no matter what.
Yeah. This is their Madden sometimes.
Yeah, this is definitely... There are people that just play wrestling games, and like the internet wrestling community is actually decent sized scene. It's not any, you know, like the biggest in video games.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that there's not, you know, wrestling doesn't have a, you know, a foothold in the market. Like it does. It 100% does. You can see that just based on TV contracts and everything like that it does. I just wonder if it crosses over into games as much as it used to. That's all.
It seems like it's been pretty hit or miss. When they first did the 2K deal, you know, when THQ went under, those like first two games did really well sales wise as far as I know, and then the quality has just dipped every single year. So I'm expecting that margin of, you know, like profitability that they had has been getting smaller and smaller as they've returned like a lesser and lesser product.
Right.
So hopefully the year off helps them out and they do something with it. Battlegrounds looks weird. I was hoping for WWE All-Stars, which is another arcade game that they kind of had in the PS3 era. But we'll see what happens. Though I'm wondering, like, this is the first annual game that said, hey, we're taking a year off. I don't expect that to happen for FIFA or Madden. But I'm just wondering, for some of the smaller games, like, wouldn't NHL take the year off? Will we get an NBA Live? I mean, didn't they take a year? Like, didn't the last one get delayed indefinitely because they wanted to work on the next one?
EA's had a problem with their basketball game in general. I don't think that we're going to see any of them take time off or anything like that.
What about a step back?
Not even that. I think that you're going to see them release another, you know, a game this fall, whether there's the season or the sport or not. And I think it's just going to be like a roster update, maybe with one or two new features as they're focusing on building for next gen. And then they can make a game for next gen that says, you know, has 10 cool features. And then the previous gen would only have 7 of the 10 working. Yeah. Because I feel like you can definitely, the problem with the PS4 to PS4 Pro transition, and then the Xbox One to Series X or to 1S and then to X was
was
you still needed to develop for the most common denominator because the companies had said everything will work the same, just better. I think now when you have Xbox Series X and you have PlayStation 5, physical, tangible number changes, name changes, that you can sit there and say, this version of the game does these 10 things. You can still buy the previous gen version of the game, but it's only going to do like 7 things.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more acceptable than saying, hey, like, and what I mean by that is not shinier or 4K or a higher refresh rate or higher frame rate. Like, those are expected things. And there could be some create a player or online functionality or build your own soap opera built into this new WWE game that's only working on the next gen platforms.
Yeah, which we typically see that cutoff point maybe into the second or third year of the new consoles. Mm-hmm.
But it might be a little sooner too, like, who, you know, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. It's going to probably depend on how well the economy bounces back as well. Just because that's going to affect how many people buy new consoles. And then that might cause developers to maybe stick with the current consoles a little bit longer than usual. Mm. Like, I'm kind of almost expecting this generation to stick way longer than the PS3 and 360 did. In terms of, like, how long those lasted into the next gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's get off that story. And then the last story, I don't know if you saw this, Dave.
I saw it on social media, yeah.
Yeah, so Fortnite did a Travis Scott event, where they had the rapper do basically a virtual concert. And it was weird. It was basically giant Travis Scott performing on the Fortnite map, and then the world would transform depending on the song. This was gigantic in terms of how popular it turned out to be. It probably benefited from a lot of people being home, but the concert was on Friday, and it drew 12.3 concurrent players for the first run of the concert. And at the end of it, because they repeated it a couple times, they drew a total of 45.8 million people watched, or 27.7 million people participated, and 45.8 million views happened from that 27.7 million people. So this was kind of huge. Fortnite previously did a concert with the DJ Marshmello, and that drew 10.7 million. But this one just kind of blew it out of the water. To where we're probably going to see more stuff like this in the future. Dave, I don't know if you're a Travis Scott fan, but what did you think of what you saw?
I mean, I only saw bits and pieces of how it was like affecting the game. And then that people were like just kind of impressed by it. Like it was good. It was entertaining compared to some of the other concerts and fundraising events that companies have tried to do. It didn't feel like it was kind of a shoe-in, if you know, like or phoned in, like they, you know, some of these other concerts and stuff like that, or like Instagram's been trying to do like those battles, and they just haven't. I don't think they've been going well.
They've been popular.
Yeah, but I functionality wise, I don't think they've been working. Is what I mean. So yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like if anybody can do it, Fortnite can do it. And it feels like for Fortnite, it hit about the right time. Cause I feel like that game is kind of plateauing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, in terms of, you know, jetting them back to the front of the conversation, at least for a little while. Sure. Kudos. Like, good job.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was almost sad. I haven't had Fortnite downloaded on my system for a long time, but I'm kind of sad that I missed out on watching it live, because when I saw it in the videos, my first reaction was, what the hell is this? But then as the video kept going, I was like, okay, this is pretty damn cool, and I kind of want to see them do more of this.
To be hard to develop though.
Like, yeah, oh my god, yeah. And the fact that it didn't break is kind of impressive. I kind of want a virtual E3 done in Fortnite just for the hell of it, because it was really cool. I want to see other artists use this as a platform, and hopefully, because it's a video game, they can customize it and play around with it a lot more, you know, and make every event special. You know, I don't want to see giant Lady Gaga performing in Fortnite and doing the exact same thing Travis Scott did, but they could do some really cool stuff with this, and it looks like there's an audience. I have no idea, like, the time and effort this must have taken, and if it's feasible for them to do this at a consistent rate. But if anyone's able to do it, it's Fortnite and Epic.
Yeah, I would be wondering, you know, obviously we talk about from a business standpoint getting people in your door, and Fortnite got people in their door for this. Now, my question, which we'll never know the ultimate answer to, but getting those people in the door, did they spend any money while they're there?
Yeah, or if that wasn't what Epic cared about, how many people, like, what were Travis Scott's Spotify numbers after this event? What was his iTunes numbers after? Because regardless of, like, if they bought microtransactions, if record companies or entertainment companies are going to go to Fortnite and draw them a check, I wonder how big that check has to be and how beneficial it is for the entertainers to just do this. Because, I mean, realistically, all they did was sign off on Travis Scott, you know, his likeness, and then played some tracks. You know, it was just like a cool visualizer. But I wonder how beneficial that was to both Epic and, like, the record label.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I figured I'd put like a nice story in since we had to start with like a danger PSA.
Yeah.
But that is it for the news. Pretty light week. Like, it's funny. Every time I like text Dave, like, hey, I can't really record Sunday. Let's record Monday. Hopefully some news happens. Some news always happens.
Yeah.
Every time. So luckily we waited a day because otherwise we would have not have had the Last of Us thing to talk to.
Right.
Talk about.
Yeah, no dates or anything like that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, so what we're planning and watching, I'll go first. Mine's not too long because I've had a really just physically and mentally exhausting week. Just like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I don't feel like I have any breaks or anything like that from it. So for me, like I played a little bit of Destiny early on in the week. They have this Guardian Games event going on, which I just jumped in to check out and see there's an exotic weapon attached to it. So there's that little carrot there. Like I kind of want the weapon and the weapon doesn't seem like it's terrible. But then I look at the stuff that I have to go through to get it. And I'm like, I don't know. So but I ultimately like I enjoy, like I've said before, like I just have fun playing that game. Just like, you know, I've been playing a little bit more on PC. It works better on PC. Part of the reason I jumped on PC right away was because I don't understand how, and you, Michael, you've said it, like I have my PC is slightly better than a PS4 or an Xbox One. It's not dramatically better.
Yeah, you're a little above a pro, probably.
Yeah, but in terms of a Destiny update, it takes about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And on a PlayStation, it didn't even automatically do it. And I still play this game regularly enough that it should have. And then the copying aspect was driving me crazy. Like I opened Steam and it did it in 45 seconds. I opened up the PlayStation and it downloaded super fast. But then the copying, I was like, come on.
So-
and like...
From what I understand, so the reason it works so much better on PC, I'm probably completely wrong on this, and if anyone wants to correct me, they can. The reason the PS4 takes so long is because it's actually rewriting all the game files or copying the game files over again, as opposed to when it updates on PC and the PC is just smarter enough to just take the files it's replacing on the fly. So your 3 gig update on PC is literally just a 3 gig update, mm-hmm. as opposed to on PS4, your 3 gig update then has to replace a bunch of data as it like basically reconfigures all the files. And it's super frustrating. Apparently that's going to be fixed next gen, which is almost reason enough for me to just jump on next gen. Yeah. As long as old games can patch just as well.
It was just frustrating. And then I jumped on PC. I was playing with my buddy Gus for a little while and, you know, just, it's just nice. Like on Discord, just talking, you know, not worrying about it always being attached to the PlayStation. Like it's just like I'm starting to get more and more and more used to the PC architecture and I'm just enjoying it. To the point where I'm looking, you know, I'm almost feeling like if I had the choice between playing something on PC and playing something on console, like I'm probably going to be leaning more towards PC.
If only they can get that controller shit right on PC. Because I hate how it changes from game to game.
I haven't had that problem at all. Like, because like with the Xbox controller just plugged in now, it just always works.
Yeah.
So, but I had to go out and buy an Xbox controller for that to work. So, watching that's literally like all I played this week because my energy level was just like nowhere. And then also part of it was that there was a live sporting event this weekend. The NFL draft happened, and I as being a Lions fan as long as I have been my entire life, actually, just seeing, hoping that there would be some cool stuff happening in the draft from the Lions standpoint and from just an entertainment standpoint. You know, I watched the first round of the draft on Thursday. I watched some of the draft on Friday and I was working on Saturday. It was just kind of cool to see a current event happen. Mm-hmm. That was more fascinating to me than anything. Yes, I understand it's the draft. For a lot of people, it's probably boring. This drew 55 million people watching this over those 3 days. They're definitely fiending for some type of live content.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then Saturday, like I had to, I still want to play Final Fantasy. I want to stream it. Just haven't had the energy to do it. So Saturday, like I meant, you know, I came home and I saw something on Facebook of somebody making a comment on a television show, and I realized that I was like, oh, is there a second season of this on Netflix? I watched the entire second season of All American Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon. All American is the show with Ty Diggs as the head coach of a high school team.
Yeah.
And it was, I watched season one a long time ago and I forgot that season two like existed. or it's a CW show, so like after the last episode airs on CW, like the next week the whole thing goes on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I don't know when that did or didn't happen, but there was a whole season for me to watch. And I enjoy the show. Like it's a good overall show at entertainment. But the biggest thing for me was it was an escape. Like I could just keep hitting next episode on Netflix and I didn't have to worry about an ad for anything or, you know, or something political showing up or any of that stuff. Like it was just like a little breakout window for me Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon. That was nice. And then I watched episode 3 of The Last Dance and I fell asleep during episode 4.
Oof.
Not that I fell asleep because I was tired. Not that I didn't fall asleep. I fell asleep because it wasn't entertaining.
Straight episode... bitches. The only thing I loved from that.
Episode 3 focused on the Pistons rivalry, the Bad Boy era, the Jordan rules. I got a couple texts for some people that I know that live in Chicago that were watching this that are like, hey, pretty much the job of everybody on the Pistons was that Michael Jordan didn't leave his feet.
Yeah.
And then the Rodman stuff is always fascinating. Like Dennis Rodman, like he just took like 3 days off in the middle of the season.
he needed to. And I love that he basically had to ask Michael for permission. And then Michael had to go to Phil and be like, yo, he needs times off. It's weird the way they presented it. It seemed like Michael asked for it, but then at the same time was telling Phil Jackson, like, do not approve this. We are never going to see this guy again.
Well, they had to go get him.
Yeah. And then the episode end with Rodman just drinking a beer and hopping on his motorcycle.
Like he's a super talented player. He was on the Bad Boys early on. And then he helped, obviously Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen knew how important he was to their team and to their aspect of what they needed to have happen and what they were trying to accomplish that at that time. So that they had to get him, but they also like, it's kind of showing why Phil Jackson's always been known as like the Zen master. You know, my son said, he's like, I didn't know that Phil Jackson was a hippie. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'd really call him a hippie, but he was definitely of do what you want, go your way, And at the same time, he was able to motivate players, he's whether you are, again, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, whether you're a Bulls fan, a Jordan fan or not, like he is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And just seeing the inner workings of his mind of where he's like literally like Jordan was telling the story and Phil Jackson's like, he needs a vacation. Like Phil's like, what do you want me to do? Like,
but just like when they focused on Phil Jackson a little bit and they talked about how, when he implemented the triangle offense and he basically just had to tell Jordan, like, you have to make the other people better. And then as soon as Jordan accepted that, everything immediately clicked for the Bulls and then they went running. I was kind of shocked, though. I didn't realize that, like, Detroit kind of fucked over Rodman a little. Not necessarily, like, fucked him over, but as soon as he showed signs, I don't know if it's just because they didn't present enough of the issues Rodman was having in Detroit, but the documentary made it seem like he had the potential suicide scared and then he was gone from Detroit. Obviously I'm not from Detroit and I wasn't old enough to like follow ESPN back then, but it seems kind of like Detroit did Rodman dirty in terms of like, soon as he started to show signs of trouble, they just like shipped him off.
Yeah. But I mean, I think in like 92 or 93, the, mental health wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So they're just like, well, you're not happy. Like, we're going to, you're not meant, you're not happy, which means you don't want to be a Piston. So get out.
Like, yeah, it was just kind of crazy. Did you finish the, no, right?
No, I was going to watch it a little bit today, but okay. I just didn't.
Did you get to the handshake?
No, but I know what it was. It was kind of talked about all over the, all over radio and everything today. And I don't know how I do or don't feel about that. I mean, it was a long time ago, and it was kind of one of those things of where, like, the era that was being made of we hear about it all the time now with, like the people. I saw a picture on social media either today or yesterday that showed if Michael Jordan played now, and it showed a picture of Jordan wearing a Bulls jersey and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson both wearing Bulls jerseys. Mm-hmm. And, of saying, cause kind of like taking a dig at like LeBron, like these guys, they got along with each other. Like they showed like Jordan going golfing you know, with somebody and then playing against them like the next day.
No one liked Detroit.
Right. Because they played a different style of ball. Like whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, like Chuck Daly is considered, again, like one of the top coaches. You know, he coached the Dream Team and he built that team around that. And the league allowed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said in a documentary, it was either, I forget the guy's name. But one of the Detroit players was just like, we weren't the best team. You know, we knew that we weren't the most talented team, but we...
It's probably Laimbeer.
It might have been. Yeah. But he basically was like, they knew they weren't the most talented team, so they had to play that way. Which, honestly, mm-hmm. the whole NBA was playing that way. They just took it to, like, 11 in terms of, like, how vicious they were. But it was pretty brutal how they were. I do love... I guess you'll see it, though, when you finish the episode. But just how they... They talk to Horace Grant and Jordan about how they feel about the handshake. And to this day, the hundreds of millions of dollars that Jordan has made, the 6 championships that he has, the fact that he's a team owner, they still ask him how he feels about Isaiah Thomas, and he's still like, fuck that guy.
And I wonder if they're going to get into it all in the documentary. And I think you've actually seen much farther than I have because I saw your stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on episode 6 right now.
We're pretty sure that what happened with the Pistons and the Bulls at the end of that series and no handshake cost Isaiah Thomas a ability to be on the 92 Dream Team.
They do touch on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, and if the little bit of like people have been talking to Isaiah like today even, and he like in real life today, like he has kind of been like, yeah, that probably wasn't the best thing to do then. You know, but and then like Laimbeer is like, I stand by what we did.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Laimbeer is still to this day. I still love anytime they ask Laimbeer about Bird or Bird gets asked about Laimbeer. And to this day, those two guys still hate each other.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. Like in Detroit as a basketball dynasty and even as like a hockey dynasty has been involved in some very, very violent encounters. And you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. There's a genre that they've, or a style, like a blue collar style that the fans seem to adapt to here well. And just the grittiness of like tough, strong defense, like the, you know, like the Pistons style of play changed some of the rules of the NBA. What the Red Wings did in the late 90s to hockey kind of ruined hockey for about 12 years.
Yeah.
So like, it's just kind of, it's crazy how the Midwest can be such a you know, an epicenter for everything. And everybody's always fiending for like Boston, LA, but the Chicago, Detroit, or the like between those three teams, like Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland, they spent a lot of time focusing on Cleveland too, of like how they were built and what they were trying to do as the Celtics were getting older and the Lakers were getting older.
Yeah.
Is always fascinating. So.
How do you feel about how the show is formatted? Do you like how they jump from the final season and then go back in time? Like, sometimes it's a little disorienting.
It is disorienting, but I do like that they're not just like brushing over certain explanations of things. They're taking time to explain like why Dennis is how he is and why Scottie Pippen was, you know, like his contract. And, you know, and I am fascinated with Michael Jordan in terms of his competitive desire, like we talked about with his foot injury and him like wanting to play and then, you know, trying to like not lose. And I feel that in comparison, that physical desire to do whatever it takes to win a game, no matter what, there are not enough players playing professional sports today that are that have that cutting edge to them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I like the format, but sometimes I almost wish that, like, the Dennis Rodman episode just focused on Dennis Rodman completely.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they jump around a lot. I almost want to watch when this is all over, just watch it all in, like, as big of a run as I can, because right now it's separated, though there are ways to watch more. But just to have a day where I just watch it, you know, from episode 1 to episode 10, when those all the episodes are finally out, just to get more of the bigger picture, because there's so much Rodman stuff that they didn't touch on, and I don't know if they touch on it in future episodes, but I would love to. Rodman was doing some crazy shit back then.
Yeah, there. I would have to find it, and like, and talking to you a little bit reminds me of it. I would have to do some Googling, and I'm not in a position to do that right now. There is a really good movie about Michael Jordan of like where they are essentially are trying to portray his story of his relationship with Phil Jackson and even him going to baseball and coming back, and that like where they were like acting it out, and that touches even on some more of that stuff of like where Phil Jackson was telling him like, you can't just take this entire team and throw it in your back and play, like you can't play like that. Yeah. Like you have to learn how to make these players better. And he was just for a long time, he was like, just give me the ball, I'll do it.
Yep. it's just like, it was just interesting to see just how, you know, I was a little kid. So like the nuances of just like seeing how much Rodman stepped up in Scottie's absence when Scottie was holding out was kind of crazy. And then the idea that that like kind of just killed Pippen or Rod, or, you know, like Rodman's almost motivation, because like soon as Scottie came back, like Rodman knew he was then the third wheel again when he was the number two. And apparently he took a lot of pride in being the number two for Jordan. And then when Scottie came back, he was just kind of like, fuck, I need a vacation. You know, like just hearing about that, I want like a full episode on Rodman, you know. And next week, you know, they're gonna talk about the Dream Team a little bit, which is a really good episode. Sorry, I'm trying to sidestep, not saying it.
No, you're good.
they do some, it's really good, and how they like shine the light a little bit on the other players. But 10 episodes in, and I'm trying to like space out the timeline, and I'm like, I want to know about Jordan going, I know it's been well documented, Jordan going to play baseball, how that affected the team, because there was a whole season where I think Scottie got them to the conference finals. And then the season that Jordan came back and then they still lost. You know, like Jordan came halfway through that season. And
yeah, he came back like in March or something.
Yeah, and then they got knocked out, I think, again, the conference finals. Like, I want time focused on that, which I'm sure they're going to get to. But then there's also, like, Rodman, like, during the finals was wrestling. And I want to know what the organization thought of that, because I think he was wrestling Karl Malone during the same time they were in the finals against each other. Like, I want to know, like, that aspect of everything. And then I almost want, like, an episode just focused on, I'm sure we'll get it, but just an episode on the aftermath of when everybody leaves.
Yeah.
Even though that
you know
isn't
that Rodman has a 30 for 30, right?
He does, I know, but I this format in particular,
yeah,
I really like, because I saw the Jordan 30 for 30 too, which is probably why they probably won't spend too long on either one of that, you know, perspectives, because they already have so much on that.
Yeah.
But I hope there's some Space Jam stuff. you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened that I want to see taken care of, and I know 10 episodes just isn't enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
But yeah, no, I mean, for the most part, that's been it for playing and watching. Just trying to find some motivation to do stuff. Like, I don't know how people that have a set schedule do it. Like,
I don't have a set schedule. And
no, I meant like even a set work schedule. Like,
oh yeah,
I pretty much have a set work schedule now, and I'm not closing at work. I'm not at work after 6 o'clock. Like, and I miss the. And again, it sounds selfish to say this, like I miss the sleeping in aspect of it, and I still get to do that a little bit. My wife's really, you know, mellow about that, like staying up a little later, like, oh, I close tomorrow, I can stay up late, play video games, hang out with some people that I, you know, talk to some people and just sleep in the morning, and then everybody's safe, everybody's healthy. Like, I'm appreciative of that, but there'd be days where my wife would be at work, my daughter would be at school, and Owen would be at the babysitter, and I would have like multiple hours to myself. I don't have that anymore.
You're just going to have to sit in the car and listen to old sports games.
I can't even do that. Like the Tigers radio stations have been playing, you know, like David, like, oh, like June 20th, 2013. I'm like, what the hell happened on there? My wife looks it up. She's like, oh, there's a walk-off home run. I'm not listening to nine innings of baseball for a walk-off home run. Like,
gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Yeah, I gotta figure something out. So, but that's it for playing and watching for me. So,
all right. For me, my list isn't super long. I did cave and buy Final Fantasy VII Remake. So it's new game. Me and Sarah play on the couch, just pass the controller, depending on who wants to play at that time. About 4 hours in, I picked it up Saturday, and then I was having internet problems, so it took like the whole day to download. So played that. I'm really digging like the combat, which I already knew I was gonna like, but actually, because you know I played it at E3, so actually playing the game has been fun. They kind of drag out the tutorials. Like, I figured out the combat, or like Sarah started the game because I played the demo previously, so I'm like, okay, you can play this. But like, they tutorialize so much, and it's just like, it isn't a hard game to figure out, you know, like all the things, and they're still like popping menus, and it's just like, we figured out the combat within 5 minutes. Like, please stop tutorializing. But I'm enjoying it. Again, it's only like 4 hours in. Voice acting is a little iffy for some of the characters. I don't know if I'm like fully digging some of the voice acting, but for the most part, the main characters are fine. It's some of the like side characters that I'm not really.
Yeah, I think you might be like an hour or so ahead of me, because I just played for those first like 3 hours where I got like to where like I'm staying.
Yeah, I'm past that, and I'm already like running errands with Tifa. Which, speaking of which, now I understand why the internet is in love with Tifa, or at least this version of Tifa, because she is awesome in this game. Her combat is so much fun. It's almost a bummer every time I have to play as Cloud when I have Tifa in my party, because I immediately just want to switch to her, just because her combat just flows so much better and just looks way cooler and more stylish. But anytime it's just like, okay, Tifa's gonna, like, you know, like, after you finish a battle or a cutscene, like, it goes right back to you controlling Cloud. You know, so that is kind of a bummer, because I almost would want to play this game just only as Tifa, if I could. Not that Cloud's bad or anything like that, but her combat style is just way more visually fun to play and look at. Early on in the game, though, it does feel like, oh my god, they stretched this game out, didn't they? You know, to make this a standalone game. It's not necessarily a bad thing how much you stretched out. It's just kind of crazy when looking back at it, just like already just 4 hours in, just being like, they really expanded on everything in this game to break this into a multiple game thing, and you can see it. And it's good so far. So I'm enjoying that. We'll probably hop into that game like every other night, playing that.
Do you think if it wasn't a remake game, like if Final Fantasy VII didn't exist and they released this now, would it hold up, or is it beginning a lot of people just want to play it because it's a classic game?
That's tough, because I feel like the story's okay. It would probably have to be tweaked a little bit more. But the combat is fun enough that I feel like that would be a draw for people if the original didn't exist.
Yeah, it's the conversation about how much can gameplay carry a game.
Yeah, early going, I feel like it could. I'm going to have to see where the game goes, because I haven't been spoiled on any of the changes they made or how it's
stretched out. Yeah, I don't remember a ton of stuff from Final. I remember playing a significant amount of time with it years ago, but I don't remember. Like, I remember doing what I did already in this game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying with like how it feels stretched out, you know, because I feel like the 4 or 5 hours that I've played, I'm just like, I was done with this already like an hour or so into the previous game. So I'd probably be able to better answer that question next week, maybe once I get into like the 10-hour mark in terms of like, could this game stand alone if it wasn't a remake, just to see where things go. But I was right. Barrett's annoying. I remember last year when I was playing it, I'm like, man, he talks a lot during the game. He does a lot. He's constantly saying shit. just constantly, like, literally just saying the word shit. It's kind
of that's what a lot of my, like, there's a couple of friends that I have that are on, that I'm friends with on Facebook that are playing the game, and this is like one of their first like big releases that they've gotten in like a long time, and they're like, man, cursing in video games has really stepped up. And I was just like, it just sounds like there's a lot in this game.
It seems like it. I don't know if Nomura, after working on Kingdom Hearts for 10 years, is just like, I want to say curse words. But he definitely takes advantage of that in the first 4 hours. Like, if I turned it into a drinking game, I would be just blasted 2 hours into the game. Okay, so the other game that I played, I finally got into the Valorant beta, which I gave up, completely gave up on watching streams to get a beta code, and my account was just like, I got an email saying like, oh, you can play Valorant now. So I don't know if it was just like luck of the draw or what. But this is the game I was talking about a couple weeks ago from Riot. It's a tactical team-based shooter. It's like a cross between Counter-Strike and Overwatch. I watched a ton of this game being played by professional streamers for like a week, 2 weeks straight. But finally getting my hands on the game itself. I don't really like the way how the cheat engine stuff works. Like, I basically have to like reboot my system to get it to, I guess it's getting like admin permission. And I need to have the cheat engine get admin permissions so it can monitor for cheating, which I don't know if I'm fully comfortable with that, but I guess that's just where we're at with PC games. But it probably means I will just uninstall this game when I'm done with it and not just leave it running all the time. The game's fun. It is taking me a long, long time to get used to playing keyboard and mouse shooters again, because there's no controller support. It's just not meant for that market, which is fine. I used to play Counter-Strike back in like high school a lot, and like Left 4 Dead. So I'm used to, I used to play on keyboard and mouse. I'm just not used to it anymore. So actually like increasing the DPI on my mouse, which is like a setting that I have not touched on my mouse in forever, but having to crank that all the way up just so I could move fast enough to compete was interesting in terms of seeing how slow I am compared to other PC players who have been doing this way longer than me. But the game was good enough that I was like considering like, my mouse is kind of shit. Should I just get a better mouse to play? Cause I have a good Fanatic keyboard, mechanical keyboard, which is fine. But my mouse is just some like random shit I bought on eBay, and halfway through it, I'm just like, I didn't know my mouse was garbage until I tried to play a competitive tactical shooter with it. I'm kind of mixed feelings on how the game's formatted. So I feel the matches just last way too long. You have to win 13 rounds to complete a match. And that most matches last maybe like a minute to 3 minutes, but that takes a long time if you have a very competitive game that goes 12-12. You know, like I have to play 25 matches to finish a round. And I feel like that just takes too much time. And that's 25 rounds where you're just on the same map. You know, you're just on the same map with the hero.
Yeah, that sounds like a 45-minute match minimum.
Yeah, and it's kind of it kind of dragged. There was a couple games where we're in like round 20 and I'm just like, I just want to stop. But I would feel like a dick if I bailed on the people I was playing with just because I was just like, ah.
Were other people leaving?
No, everyone was staying in. So are you kidding me? If one person left from my team or the other team, I would have taken that as a sign of like, all right, let me get out of here. Because especially when things aren't going well for your team, if you hit a streak where you're just not doing well, especially me on the keyboard and mouse for the first time in a while playing this type of shooter, I was getting my ass kicked. Like the best match I had, I think I was like 9-20. Because it's each round you just get one life. So, You know, there's a lot of rounds where I get knocked out super early to where I'm just like, all right, I guess I'm just watching. So like I feel like the matches just last way too long. I'm hoping they tweak that, or there's like a non-serious mode that I can just mess around with. Just because I'm interested in to see how some of the mechanics work. It's, you know, it's a hero shooter. You know, you pick specific characters that have special abilities, but I don't feel like none of the matches last long enough that I'm using the abilities as much as I should. That just because it could be just because I'm new to the game. But I feel like it's not utilizing that hero aspect enough. And I could just be picking around heroes, you know, et cetera. But I feel like it's not using the hero stuff enough. And it's just turning into a Counter-Strike game, you know, because the main objective is plant the bomb or defend a bomb. And most of the time, each round, it's just team deathmatch. You know, you're just knocking out your opponents instead of focusing on the objective. And you're not really using the hero mechanics, at least in the early going that I've seen. It's just been everyone just having a shootout, which I would want to see matches where everyone's using their abilities and I feel empowered as opposed to losing because I just wasn't quick on the draw. Like, I feel like the strategy is not there, or at least it could be matchmaking because I was new. Maybe it was matchmaking me with other people who were also new, so we were all just figuring it out together, so it might be something that will get better over time. So I'm hoping to see like the strategy aspect pop up eventually. But early going, like, I'm interested in the game. I just need to like find those muscles again for this type of game. Because I'm already like blaming my mouse, you know, like I was like looking at my mouse of just like, okay, what's the DPI on my mouse? Is it fast enough or am I just too slow? So I got to get better at playing this type of game again, which made me kind of want to get Counter-Strike again because I have it on Steam. I just haven't downloaded it forever. So this might end up following me down a rabbit hole of playing Counter-Strike again, or Source specifically. But that's it for playing. It was just those two games. Like, I wasn't expecting to get Valorant. I like I said, I gave up of watching the streams hoping for a beta code to drop. So as soon as I got it, I ended up, you know, playing a couple days in a row. And then Final Fantasy, I caved. I think I bought it Friday, and then Saturday I started the download, and then internet died out. So I think I was up to like 2 in the morning with Sarah, like Saturday, playing the game when it finally finished. Finally watched What We Do in the Shadows, the FX show. I love the movie, but I was worried the TV adaptation was going to be bad, so I like put it off, and then finally enough people said it was good, so I ended up watching it. Me and Sarah binged it in like 2-3 days. Season 2 is ongoing, which kind of made me sad because now I have to wait week to week for a new episode. And then Sunday, we built a blanket fort and watched Breaking Bad all day. So we started to rewatch Breaking Bad. And for some reason, we just wanted to build a blanket fort, too. I don't know why. We had the space, so we're just like, let's be lazy and watch Breaking Bad all day. I haven't seen Breaking Bad since it first aired, so it's been a long time. I think it ended in 2013. So it's been a while since I've gone through it, and it's been kind of great because I forgot all the little details with the show. So I remember all the big picture stuff, but just rewatching the show and like falling in love again with the show has been nice. We're halfway through season 2, and we started on Sunday.
Judgment from me. I think I watched 20 episodes of the show in a day and a half.
Yeah, it's just super easy now because it's just like, especially like on the weekends, you know, like Sarah's off on the weekends. I just don't work. So it's just very easy to just like fall into a TV show. Especially like I'm in the same boat as you. I've been wanting to stream, but I just haven't had the motivation. I'm going to try and like write up a schedule for the rest of the week just to give myself some sort of structure when it comes to streaming. But man, it's so easy to just fall into the couch, especially like I put the phone away, or at least I try to, because it's very easy to get upset at your phone nowadays. Okay. So I've just been like diving into TV shows, and I downloaded the Comixology app and got the 60-day subscription, so I'm reading comic books again. Again, I have no home projects I can do right now. I might rewire my PC, but part of me is afraid to do that.
I'm trying to convince Angela to let me redo The Office, and she's not on board with it.
Well, that's my fear, is like, if I mess something up with my PC desk, Sarah needs it to work from home, so, and Amazon Prime isn't really the best option right now, because they're, like, shipping only essential items, so it's just like, do I take the risk and mess around with my PC? I have a new SSD hard drive I want to put into my PC or a PS4. So, just trying to, like, convince myself that I am capable of not fucking anything up and then doing that, but I'll probably have to do that on the weekend. But yeah, that is it for playing and watching. Light week. I know me and Dave just got some codes for a game, so we'll have some new stuff to talk about next week game wise.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll jump into some of our questions. We don't have very many of them, so please go ahead and send us questions. Anything that you want to know about us, gaming related, not gaming related. Just go ahead and ask away, and we can do our best to answer the question for you. It can be about just about almost anything. Yeah, maybe don't, get too super personal on things, but we can have some fun with it too. We'll answer some off the wall questions. You can, for a little while there, we were on the randomly weird eating habits of Michael, and that seemed to have gone away a little bit.
Yeah.
Our first question comes from Twitter at Penwell Writes. Which series is better, Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Dexter, or Sly Cooper? So I have played Sly Cooper, but my only experience with Sly Cooper was that PS3 and Vita crossover game.
The fourth one?
Yeah, Thieves or something like that.
Thieves I can't in remember. Time.
Yeah. Ratchet and Clank was one of the first games that it was a game that came with the PS3 when I bought it. Mm-hmm. A Kraken Time, I think, is the one that came with it. And I actually really enjoyed that. And I have played a good amount of other Ratchet and Clank. So I would say Ratchet and Clank between those three.
For me, I would go Sly Cooper. I came to Sly Cooper late, but when they did the remaster trilogy on the PS3, I got into it and I was kind of disappointed in myself for taking so long. I never could get into Jack and Dexter. I tried when they also did the remake during the PS3 era, and I just couldn't get into it. And then Ratchet and Clank, it's been kind of hit or miss, depending on which game, if I, like, enjoyed it or not. I was really kind of bummed I didn't enjoy the remake that they put out on the PS4 as much as other people did. Mm-hmm. I still own it, so I could still give it another shot, but I, for whatever reason, I could not get into it. So I'm going to have to go Sly Cooper on that one.
All right. Stefan writes on our Facebook group, what is your favorite comedy film? Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question like all day, trying to define a comedy.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Because there's like some dark comedies that I like, but I wouldn't necessarily say they're like comedy movies, if that makes sense. Like they're more dramas with comedy aspects. So off the top of my head, just straight up comedies that I can think of, Office Space, one of my favorite movies of all time. I quote that movie way more often than I should. I'm trying to end the process of getting Sarah to watch it for the first time, just because she works in an office now. So it's just like one of those things where before work from home, she worked in an office. So I'm just like, some of these jokes might hit way harder now. And then a movie that came up last week on Twitter for, I have no idea why, Euro Trip. I love that movie. It's one of the only like teen comedies from my younger years that I still can watch today and I don't cringe. Like I tried watching like American Pie.
Yeah.
In modern times, and that is a very problematic movie. Not that Eurotrip's not a problematic movie, but I can tolerate some of the bigger issues with like that teen movie as opposed to like some of the stuff in American Pie. But Eurotrip is definitely one of them. So yeah, Eurotrip and Office Space are probably like my two go-to comedies if we're just talking straight up comedic movies. Because I could go off on movies all day.
Yeah. I guess for me, like the first thing that comes to mind is, and I mean, I think it classifies as a comedy. Would you classify Major League as a comedy?
Yes. Yeah. That is I would say that's a comedy.
Yeah, then that's my first. That's my favorite. Like, I mean, I could watch that movie like anytime.
So. Yeah. Well, it's like, have you seen Goon?
The hockey one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I know that's a comedy, but it's dramatic enough of a movie, or it's like dark enough that I don't classify it as comedy, but that's one of my favorite movies of all time. But I'm weird with how I classify films.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Any other movies come to the top of your head?
I've always enjoyed like the Hot Shot movies. Like I thought that, you know, like Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I watched those. I should probably watch those again. And then it kind of tied into a little bit of like the Naked Gun movies and stuff like that. So like
I haven't thought of the Naked Gun movies in forever.
Yeah, it's just the movies of making fun of other movies, which is what Hot Shots does like the entire time.
Yeah.
So like it's just, you know, it's always those kind of things like I enjoy. And I know you hate them and stuff like that, but I could watch like Waterboy randomly.
I haven't seen that. I Happy remember Gilmore, enjoying
like you know.
Yeah. I remember enjoying Waterboy as a kid. I don't know if I would enjoy it as much anymore.
Like I could like Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore, like any you know, those are just movies that I could just sit and watch and just laugh, you know.
Yeah. Well, actually, like a lot of the Chris Farley movies, Tommy Boy is a movie that I could rewatch. Like, that's one of the comedies that I remember as a kid. Just being on halfway through, and I would just sit and watch it. Like, I could watch that movie at any point in the movie and be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, all the Chris Farley movies early. Adam Sandler, even though I hate him now, he was all right back then. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I would watch any of them now, how I'd feel about him, but yeah, he's okay.
All right, so a little bit of a shorter show, not too bad.
Hold on, Dave. I'm going to throw you some random questions, and you just have to answer them, okay?
Oh, God.
Okay? All right. Here we go. What is your favorite activity? Reading, drawing, playing sports, spending money, taking over the world, science, eating pickles.
Playing sports.
Okay. All right. What is your favorite color? Pink, red, all of them, green, yellow. What is the relevance of this question? That's a hard one. Black or white? Pick.
Out of those choices?
Yes.
That's a hard one.
Okay. All right. Favorite season?
Fall.
Fall? Okay. Sorry. I'm just...
What am I taking? Some of those, like, one of those tests in the back of, like, one of those women magazines or something?
Yep. That is exactly what we are doing. Okay. Favorite animal? I love animals. They're so cute and fuzzy. Me, of course. Oh, these questions are hard. Smart ones. Animals that punch. I don't have one. Expensive ones. Which one?
The first one you read.
I love animals.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you evil? No way. There is no good or evil. Money makes you good. Yes.
No way.
Okay. What food do you like? Yummy food? Pickles? What do these questions mean? Expensive stuff like caviar. Food that is scientifically proven to be good for you.
Yummy food.
Okay. And finally, do you like the Powerpuff Girls?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. Calculating. You were Bubbles, the sugar part of the trio. Bubbles is sweet and bubbly and a bit of a crybaby, but she does have a tough side. So you were Bubbles if you were a Powerpuff Girl.
Okay. I don't think that's entirely wrong about me.
Okay, yeah, no, but you're Bubbles. Sorry, it just popped up and as I had the internet open, and I'm just like, you know, I want to know what Dave, what Powerpuff Girl Dave
would be.
Yep, Bubbles. We will ask Angela if this is accurate.
So I guess maybe that'll be the spotlight, is that I'm Bubbles.
Yes, you're Bubbles. You need to watch the best of Bubbles on YouTube.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. So that is our show for this week. Maybe we'll make Michael randomly do other tests on me in the future while we're in quarantine. Quarantine tests.
Yes. I'm just going to find personality tests for you.
Like I mentioned before, all of our social stuff is in the show notes. So please join the Facebook group, join Discord, like the page, subscribe to YouTube, follow us on Twitch. If you have Amazon Prime, subscribe to us if you want to. If you want to pay for a subscription, you can do that as well. The Twitch support has been really cool over the last couple of months, and we appreciate that. It's allowed us to put some money in the bank, which is going to help us when we need it. Because eventually, maybe there'll be something that we can go to.
Maybe one day. PAX is still on at the table, apparently.
And then, obviously, we still have our Patreon as well. So, patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming, where we have the tip jar, the access to the special Discord server, the early access to the podcast for 24 hours early. So, you get it on Wednesday mornings instead of Thursday morning. And the bonus content episode with, like, could be, as an example, something like Final Fantasy VII. Deeper conversations as Michael and I get a little farther. Those things could be the in terms of your bonus content. We will get some of that done before Michael goes back to work, whenever that is. but again, please do not support us on Patreon if you cannot afford it. We don't need the money as much as you do if you can't afford it. So if you are in a financial situation and you feel so obligated to support us on Patreon, we thank you. We appreciate it. But please, I don't want anybody to go into financial hardship because you feel obligated to support us. You listening, sharing, and reviewing the show is what we need from you more than we need the Patreon money. Don't get me wrong, the Patreon money's nice. But growing the show, growing the community is the goal of what we're doing. We turn 6 months old in the next week, which is kind of scary. And our desire to continue to do this every week consistently. Like, we release the show the same day, the same time, every week for you guys. To give you the escape, to give you the content that we know that you guys enjoy and that we see that you guys enjoy by tweeting at us or saying something in the Facebook group or sending us messages or even just dropping in the Twitch chat to say hi just for a brief second. Like, all of that is why we do this every week. And we make sure that us producing this content every week is for you guys to consume. It's not for us. Just, I don't, like, I like talking to Michael, but if I missed a week of talking to Michael, I'd be okay. But we know that you guys maybe wouldn't be okay missing a week of just hearing us, like, banter back and forth a little bit. So we appreciate you, and I don't know what you got.
I really thought you would be Buttercup. I would be Bubbles. <You're> such...
What are you?
I don't know. I haven't taken it, but I really thought you would be Buttercup because I always thought of myself as a Bubbles. But I might be Blossom. I could be Blossom. She's the leader, Blossom, so...
Yeah, that's not you.
No, probably not. I guess I'm Buttercup. I don't know how I feel about that.
All right, so I hope everyone has a great week. And apparently there's a Powder Puff personality test that everybody needs to take. And tweet at us using hashtag AskDigitalDays. What Powder Puff Girl are you?
Power Puff Girl.
Power Puff. Oh, Powder Puff is a high school thing. Sorry.
Okay.
Like the playing flag football and the girls playing flag football and the guys being a cheerleader.
Okay, you went to a weird high school, but all right.
Oh my gosh, somebody better tell him, like, Powder Puff. Please tell me you know what Powder Puff is.
No.
Oh my god. Please, people, correct this child.
Okay.
All right, everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya, Bubbles.